Well, Randy, it's always good to start our Football Fridays together, and this year we've had our fair share. Obviously, not as much fun maybe as we've had in previous years, but we're still enjoying ourselves, I think, up in the booth.
Yep.
And we're talking some Pella football history. We went through some old memories that you and I had together, whether I was on the sideline with a video camera or you were with me in the booth. First of all, what has it meant to be kind of this voice of Pella football that you've been since, we believe 2004 was your first season, where you've done probably close to 90 to 95% of the football games during that time. And what has it meant for you to have that opportunity to be that consistent voice of what has been arguably the greatest Iowa high school football program during that time?
Well, thanks, Andrew, first of all, for having the interview and for the station for letting me do this for this long. I honestly don't think of myself as the voice of the Dutch, although I have people come up to me in the street and call me that. 2004 was when it started, because Pella Christian started their program and you needed more help. I had already been doing basketball color, and so I helped to start doing football. And the strength of the program, of course, we win the vast majority of our games, so it's fun in that respect. But just the strength of the program, and what I mean by what the Jay and all the coaches do to the young men on the team and making them into men, is what I'm most proud of. My son went through it. I'm hoping my grandson goes through it, and so forth. And so it's just, I'm just proud to be associated with a program like that that is respected around the state.
Well, and you got to be the firsthand witness to watching its rise. Your son was on a dome team. It's the only dome game for Pella you haven't called.
Right.
But then after that team went through, that's when Jay took over, actually, as the solo coach, I think, was after that season or around that time. And it became Jay's program. Coach Schulte was still around, but it was all Jay's vision at that point. And that's when it took off, right? Then there was multiple dome trips around when I was in high school, all the way then to when I came to the station in 2014. What was it like to watch that growth now in hindsight, knowing that when you took over as color commentator, maybe they're related, maybe they're not, but what was it like to kind of see that rise of Pella football from 2004 to now?
Right. Well, you know, we had never been to the Dome. I know in history, if you go back, Pella has played in the semifinals before, but they didn't go to the Dome in those days. I think they went to Harlan one time in the semifinals. They went to Regis one time which is now Xavier, in the semifinals. So they would have technically made it, those teams would have. But yeah, we had never made it to the Dome. And in 2003, if anybody that knows anything about the program, that was going to be our year. That was the year we were going to win the state title. And then when we didn't because of various reasons that I don't want to get into in this interview. But there was a sense of like, oh, if we're not going to ever make it to the Dome with this team, when are we ever going to make it? And then the very next year, after all those guys were gone and my son was his senior year and all his classmates, and we made it to the Dome, it was just like such joy to make it. I remember the coaches just crying on the field because they didn't think that was going to happen that fast. But yeah, then after that, it seemed like we were there every other year almost. And obviously there with the three titles in a row, we were there quite a few years. But it's just been so much fun to watch the program grow. And then you get the little kids that are in fourth through seventh grade watching that, get that fired up and want to play Pella football.
And for you, what was it like to have the seat that you had? Because I think you have a unique seat. Obviously, the fans all sit in front of us when we're on Football Friday. But you're there able to commentate to an audience of 4,000 people every Friday about what's happening, whether it's grandma, grandpa, the fans of football that tune in every week, and now with our Pella Dutch live stream, those who watch on the video stream. What's it like to have that specific vantage point? And what do you think has allowed you to maybe stay up there so long that we haven't thrown you out yet?
There's more pressure now that there's video, because there's people at home watching it and listening to the play-by-play, and they know if I screw up. Before, they just had to trust what I said. But it's been very, very rewarding to have that seat. In 95% of the cases, we're indoors. So you and I have broadcast a few times outside, and Corey and I and Trevor and I as well outside. But it's great to watch the games. I mean, we don't win them all, but we win the majority, and we have a good representation of our school and our community whenever we play. And so I'm just really proud to wear the green to the games. And usually we have to go to the opponent's side of the field, you know, to broadcast, unless we're at home. And so you kind of get those looks like, oh, he's from Pella, you know. And there's a little bit of a disdain, but there's also respect in all of that. And so that's good to have.
And from your chair, what do you think it takes to be a at least a, in your mind, a decent color commentator. I think you're a great color commentator, but I know you're a pretty humble guy. What do you think it takes to have that? Because obviously you've worked with a lot of us before. Now, last 5 years, it's been me and Trevor, so you've had that consistency. But there's been many years where you've had Brian Vandeloon, who's another color commentator with you, all the way to guys who have been here for 6 months, to those who've been here like a Jamie Brockman, who are here for a long time. What do you think it takes to be good in your role?
Well, that's a good question, and to be honest, I don't usually even think about the fact that I'm a color commentator. I just say what I see and describe what I see, and usually the play-by-play guys do a very good job. You and Trevor and whoever else I work with do a great job of describing the play, and then if I see something else that caused that to happen or something that obviously people listening on the radio can't see, you know, it's like I try to add those extra components to it so they get the full picture at home. You know, like what are they like? Well, they got four and a diamond to the right. You know what I mean? And so gives a picture of people at home to know what we're looking at. When there's fantastic throws or fantastic catches or fantastic runs, you know, I let the play-by-play guy do their thing and then try to add a little bit of splash to it after that. But it's just so much fun. We've seen so many great plays over the last 20 years. It's amazing.
The only time you didn't let that happen, I don't blame you, was 40 in a row. How dramatic could that be, Randy? How dramatic could that be?
I believe I've seen it all, I think is what I
Yeah. and so when you think about those special moments and then on the feedback side, especially because I think Trevor and I see that more because we've been consistently here for so long. What's the feedback like then for you, and how rewarding is it to have a kid or a parent who listens back, or now in this case, watches back the game, come back and say, Randy, I appreciated that comment, or Randy, that was a great call. What does that do to you? And I'm guessing that's a big reason why you keep going.
That's what from as far as remembering people talking to me about it, the first things I remember was the parents that would come up to me, and you know, obviously they're at the game watching the game. They're not listening to us while at the game. But then they go home the next day, Sunday night, whatever, Monday night, and they play back and listen to the broadcast. And the fact that we stay positive about our team, we stay positive about the opponent. We don't ever degrade a player from either team. You know, we ever want anybody getting hurt. But so the parents would come back and give us positive feedback, say, thanks for doing that. You're doing a great job. We love it, listening to you and all that kind of stuff. Then it evolved into the grandparents when it got into the internet, because, you know, before it was just a replay on your website. And now it's internet, and there's grandparents all across the country listening. Friends of ours that are in Florida or whatever, listening to the game, texting us during the game, you know, that kind of stuff. It's really cool to think you're being listened to all across the country.
And then on that note too, how has that maybe changed your viewing of football, knowing that, especially, I think a lot of people are critical of announcers, right? Especially the national TV games on the NFL. I don't want to get to this rabbit hole too much, but I think, you know, from our chair, it's hard. It's really hard to do. So what do you maybe appreciate when you listen to an Ed Podolak during a Hawkeye game, or in our case, a Cyclone game with, you know, John and that team? You know, is there an extra appreciation? And maybe even when you listen to our other guys, when you listen to Chris Larson or J.D. Bohr, or during the basketball season when it's John and Phil, I'm guessing you have a different appreciation than most people for what it takes to put together a 4-hour broadcast.
Well, I certainly do that. And I don't, to be honest, yeah, I don't watch a lot of college and pro football games. I'll watch an Iowa or an Iowa State game if it's a critical game. I try to watch as many Iowa State games as I can, but I don't even get to see all of them. And, you know, I totally like and respect John Walters. I think he does a great job. But what I do find myself doing a lot is watching Major League Baseball or anything that has an announcer doing the game that I'm watching. It's like, oh, man, he's not he or she, but usually a he's not. He doesn't know what he's talking about. His mouth is moving, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know what I mean? And so I find myself criticizing the announcers, but at the same time, like, the Cubs are terrible, but I watch almost every Cubs game that gets recorded on my DVR, and I like listening to Boog and JD because they have a good time and they have little tiny side jokes, you know, like little one-liners that you gotta really pay attention to what they said, and they're really funny. And so I try to pick up on things like that that I can use, that sort of sense of humor in the broadcast, and just making it more enjoyable.
Well, and obviously we're featuring the color commentators, and you know, we're kind of trying to celebrate and put a spotlight on you guys for all you do. You know, you think back then to the past 18 years and being specific to football in particular, you know, is there certain, I mean, the top memory we're going to play the sound for, that's already been played probably two or three times on this show. But, you know, are there other memories or other moments that really you hold dear because you had this spot that you otherwise would not have had, maybe just being a fan in the crowd? Is there something, one or two or three moments that you think top of mind that, wow, because I was up there with Andrew, Trevor, Corey, whoever it was last 20 years, I had that moment?
So the 2003 football team that was the first to go to the Dome, it was the year before I started broadcasting, so that doesn't qualify for your question. But that's certainly a memory. When we beat Sheraton to go to the Dome, the coaches were crying, the players were crying. It was so, so emotional that night. It was so cool. I'll never forget that night. But then from a broadcast perspective, certainly the 40 in a row, I mean, and the 40th or 42 in a row, but the 40th win was the best game I've ever seen in my life. And it has to be ranked as one of the best five high school football games ever, whether people saw it or not. It was just a classic, tremendous football game of two really, really good teams that the team with the ball in the last play of the game wins. And so that, I'll never forget that. I'll not forget the team after that that had to pick up the cross and carry a 41-game winning streak into their season. That there's really only about three or four guys that had anything to do with that. And they lost at DCG, but they won all the rest of their games all the way to the championship game. I mean, that season was unbelievable that they weren't expected to do anything, and they got to the championship game. So I'll never forget that. And so, yeah, there's just, I mean, when we played Centerville in the playoffs, I don't remember what year that was. Blaine Forsyth was quarterback. I do remember that. Centerville was tremendous that year. We went down there, and they got up like 28-0, and then we stormed all the way back, and we lost in overtime on a two-point play by Centerville because they had Tanner Susan, who was an unstoppable force in their backfield. The kid was enormous, and we couldn't tackle him. And because of the rules with the first two playoff games were on the road, and then the other two were at home, you had to go the other way. So Centerville had to come to Pella to play us in the third round of the playoffs. And Centerville fans were all upset because that's unfair. They should have had a home game and all that kind of business. But it was at Pella, and I remember going down to the coaches before the broadcast saying, how are you going to stop this guy? We can't tackle him. And they said, we're going to make him tired. We didn't make him tired on defense down there. We went three and out, and he never got tired on defense. So we're going to go run him all around the field and wear him out. Well, it worked. I mean, he still had a great game, but we beat Centerville that night and went to the Dome. That, I'll never forget that night. So, I mean, there's just so many memories. And you said at the beginning of the intro, I've missed three games in 19 or 20 years, whatever it is. I've missed three games. I've seen all the rest of them. Most of them win. Some of them not so fun. But, to be honest, I have to catch myself because I get disappointed when we lose. I'm a competitive person. And I have to remember I'm broadcasting. I can't just ignore your questions. I can't just say, well, I don't know, because I don't want to talk about it. You know what I mean? Right. But anyway, I've enjoyed it so much, and just the way, again, but it's mostly centered on the fact that the program is helping young men become better men, and the cheerleaders, and I don't mean just men, because there's cheerleaders, there's gals that are managers, there's lots of men and women in the program, but yeah, that's what I'm most proud of.
I think those three have all been games I was supposed to do, Randy. So maybe you're giving me a sign, but I appreciate your time nonetheless. The great Randy Sikkema, appreciate your time, and look forward to the next 18 years with you, right?
All right. I don't know about that, but I'll do it for a while longer. Thanks, Andrew.